thank you for tuning into Songs of Praise from 3ABN Australia Radio. We trust you'll enjoy this musical selection to bring you peace, comfort and hope.
It's a face that I see in the mirror, the one I want others to see. Do I show in the way that I walk in my life the love that you've given to me? My heart desires to be like you in all that I do.
the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the Son, his word, his blood, support me in the flood. When all around gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. When he shall come with trumpet sound, sinking sand, all other ground is
Songs of Praise endeavors to draw your heart, mind, and soul to a close relationship with your Savior, Jesus Christ.
Jesus. Savior and King, have you let Jesus? light will shine brighter, the dark will grow darker, as everyone's choice is made. The things in our hearts will set us apart, revealed on that judgment. Christ's righteous robe that you're wearing. Have you given yourself to Him without limit? Are you bearing the fruit of the Spirit?
The wheat and the weeds are growing together for all the world to see. Of a life lived for good or for evil, for all eternity. Which one will you be? Which one will you be?
Yourself of all but love.
If you're enjoying this music, encourage your friends to listen to this program each week.
I sing the mighty power, the mighty power of God. I lift my voice in praise to His great majesty. I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and filled the lofty skies.
Thank you. Sound the battle cry, see the foe is nigh, raise the standard high for the Lord. Gird your armor on, stand firm everyone, rest your cause upon his holy word. Rouse then, soldiers, rally round the banner, ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna, Christ is captain of the mighty throng. Strong to meet the foe, marching on we go, while our cause we know must prevail. Shield and banner bright, gleaming in the light, battling for the right we ne'er can fail. Rouse then, soldiers, rally round the banner, ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna, Christ is captain of the mighty throng. O thou God of all, hear us when we call, help us one and all by thy grace. When the battle's done and the victory won, may we wear the crown before thy face. Rouse then, soldiers, rally round the banner, ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna, Christ is captain of the mighty throng.
In the mud and mire behind the fences is when you finally came to your senses. You said even the servants in my father's house are better off than I am now. You didn't think he'd take you in, much less call you son again. Instead you found a mercy so beautiful and wide that it looks beyond the foolishness to seek a wayward child. There is no condemnation, just a father who's been waiting to put his arms around. Anticipation, what a great celebration, for you were lost but now he's found you. There is only rejoicing and a tender kindness shown when the prodigal comes home. Rehearsing words to beg him for forgiveness. Then down the road you saw him in the distance. As he ran to meet you face to face and wrapped you in his strong embrace, the acceptance in his eyes made you finally love you. You will always be his son, no matter where you wander, no matter what you've done. There is no condemnation, just a father who's been waiting to put his arms around. Anticipation, what a great celebration. You were lost, but now he's found. nation, just a father who's been waiting to put his arms around me. Oh, the anticipation, what a great celebration. You were lost, but now he's found you.
Invite your family and friends to also enjoy Songs of Praise.
The Father called to Abraham and promised him a son to be an heir, a people vast more numerous than the sand. Shall be his children from this covenant. The Father spoke to Moses from the bush. I see my people needy and oppressed. Now take my children out of Egypt's hands and lead them to my promised land. Endure, El Shaddai, Redeemer, his covenants are sure, exceeding great and precious are his promises to me. Trust the promise keeper, he is the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Upon the fallen world and promised to redeem it through his Son. If you believe that Christ died in your place, then God has promised you are surely saved. His promises are found throughout his word to keep us and supply our forgive when we confess, the hope of life eternal after death. Trust the promise keeper, his promises endure. El Shaddai, Redeemer, his covenants are sure, exceeding great and precious are his promises to me. And the truth shall make you free. He is the truth. Have faith in him, and the truth shall make you free.
Sorrows and heartaches will come. beneath that flood, lose rejoice to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away.
We here at 3ABN Australia Radio are delighted to share songs of praise with you. We look forward to your company next time.
Welcome to the book reading program of 3ABN Australia Radio. Does your faith need a boost? Do you think that miracles only happened in Bible times? Think again. Compiled by Remnant Publications, the book Get Ready for a Miracle recounts true stories that prove that when we step out in faith, God displays His power in undeniable ways. Here is our reader, Koval Smith.
This story is entitled Poisoned. Acts chapter 28. Verses 8 and 9 says, "It happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went into him and prayed, and he laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed." Afternoon shadows crept across the page as I was reading on my front porch. Thousands of feet above me, thunderheads were blazing with a Friday setting sun. Where I sat, though, surrounded by mountains, dusk was already falling. Half an hour before, I had opened my medical book to look up an antibiotic dosage for a child with a respiratory infection. The book fell open to the section on poisoning, and on an impulse, I began to read. I did not typically study my medical book on Friday evenings, but somehow today it seemed like the thing to do. Finally, having exhausted the subject, and with night coming on quickly, I calculated the antibiotic dosage and headed out to the village. A few minutes later, Ramon came into the house where I was visiting with a friend. "John, do you have any sugar?" he asked. "My son Deepy has been poisoned." The main staple of the Alangan diet is a poisonous tuber called nami. It takes about 3 days of fermentation and rinsing to extract the poison and render the root edible. Every once in a while, someone is just too hungry to wait and they pay the price in dizziness, vomiting and a terrible headache. The traditional antidote for nami poison is sugar. Thankfully, no one in remembered history has died from eating underprocessed nami, so I wasn't too worried when Ramon asked for sugar. After getting him some, I headed back to my friend's house. 10 minutes later, Ramon showed up again. Earlier in the day, Deepy had played basketball in the lowlands with a few of the boys who lived in this house. Ramon sat the boys down and interrogated them about what they had eaten that might have poisoned Deepy. I finally came to my senses and realised this was more than a simple case of nami poisoning. I asked Ramon, and he confirmed that Deepy was pretty bad off. I grabbed my medical book and a few drugs and took off running for Ramon's house. Cooking fire smoke stung my eyes as I climbed into the little house. A single tin can lamp hung from the rafters, dimly illuminating the chaos below. Half the village was crammed into the house. 50 or so of the boldest were close around the rope hammock Deepy was lying in, offering advice and massaging his limbs. Someone was trying to force dampened sugar into his mouth, and a dish of charcoal water sat under his hammock. As I got closer, I could see that Deepy's eyes were mostly closed, and black charcoal drool was running down his chin. I immediately checked his ABCs, airway, breathing and circulation. As soon as I was certain he was stable for the moment, I asked to pray. "Father," I begged, "please spare Deepy's life. Please remember his father's faithful service to you, and don't let him lose his son now. Please give us the wisdom to treat Deepy. You alone understand all that is going on here. So we ask these things according to your will and in Jesus' name." I continued to assess Deepy. He was unconscious. His pulse and respirations were slow. His eyes were rolled back in his head, and his pupils were fully dilated and unresponsive to light. There was no fever, muscle spasm, stiffness, or any other obvious clue as to the cause of his condition. Onset of symptoms had been sudden. He had asked for water, and when his brother brought him a jug, his hand had shaken violently as he reached for it. Unable to take a drink, he had fallen back into the hammock, unresponsive. My book recommended taking a case like this to a hospital right away. But I couldn't find Ramon. He had disappeared as soon as I had left for his house, and I knew no one would let me take Deepy out without his approval. Besides, Deepy likely would not live long enough to get to the hospital on the far end of the island. We would have to do what we could for him here in the village. Short on ideas, I tried to convince the people surrounding Deepy to give him more charcoal along with the sugar. I knew it was not a good idea to give anything orally to an unconscious person, but there was no way on earth I would be able to convince the villagers to stop. Anyway, he was automatically spitting everything back out. His pulse was slowly weakening, and soon I was having a hard time finding it. Deepy was almost dead. I learned later that Ramon, knowing there was nothing more he could do for his son, had made his way to the church, fallen on his knees, and begged God to preserve Deepy's life. "Father," he prayed, "please save my son. I give him to you. Even if it is not your will to heal Deepy, I surrender him to you. Please accept him into your kingdom. Please, Father, may I see him again in the resurrection." As Ramon prayed this prayer, I sat alone in the back of the house. Aside from a miracle, it was just a matter of time. With nothing else left to do, I decided to reread the poison section in my medical book. The house was noisy, my mind was racing, and I was having difficulty focusing. But since I had just read this section carefully an hour or so before, I realised that the book described only one poison that remotely resembled Deepy's symptoms. The book said that, short of taking him to an advanced hospital, which doesn't exist on our island, the only thing that might help with this type of poison was spraying a bit of insecticide on a cloth and holding it under the patient's nose for him to breathe. Apparently, many insecticides contain compounds similar to the antidote for this particular poison. I had never heard of such a crazy treatment, and I was afraid the villagers would run me out of town if I tried it. But anything was worth a shot. I found a man who had a bit of insecticide powder for his crops. I sprinkled some on a dampened piece of fabric and held it up to Deepy's nose. After about 2 minutes, Deepy took a long, rasping breath. It didn't sound like a good sign, so I took the insecticide away from his nose and sat down again. Oh, well, I thought it was worth a try. "Deepy, Deepy, can you hear me?" The words broke through my thoughts. It had been about a minute since I had tried the insecticide. I jumped up and ran to the hammock. There was no obvious sign of improvement, but when I shined the light into Deepy's eyes, his pupils immediately contracted down to almost normal size. Within 5 minutes, he began to move his limbs and swallow. With prayers of thanksgiving, we made our way home, wondering at the strange and wonderful ways God sometimes chooses to work. The next morning, Deepy's mental function was still a little slow, and he was extremely weak, but he was improving. When I saw him again a few days later, he was completely back to normal. Criminals often use the particular poison Deepy likely ingested. This is our best guess about what happened. Deepy is a talented basketball player, and earlier that afternoon he had been playing in the lowlands. Between games, when Deepy went off to buy snacks, a jealous opponent must have slipped the poison into his drink. Praise God for Ramon's prayer of surrender from a father's heart. Praise God for nudging me to read up on poisoning ahead of time and for guiding me to the strangest of antidotes. A reflection associated with this story comes from Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing, page 105. "The infinite God," said Jesus, "makes it your privilege to approach him by the name of Father. Understand all that this implies. No earthly parent ever pleaded so earnestly with an erring child as he who made you pleads with the transgressor. No human loving interest ever followed the impenitent with such tender invitations. God dwells in every abode. He hears every word that is spoken, listens to every prayer that is offered, tastes the sorrows and disappointments of every soul, regards the treatment that is given to father, mother, sister, friend, and neighbour. He cares for our necessities, and His love and mercy and grace are continually flowing to satisfy our need. Poisoned was written by John Holbrook of Adventist Frontier Missions, used by permission of Adventist Frontier Missions. Adventist Frontier Missions seeks to establish Indigenous Seventh-day Adventist church planting movements with unreached people groups. You can visit afmonline.org for more information.
You've been listening to the book reading program by 3ABN Australia Radio, featuring Get Ready for a Miracle. For more information about this book, visit remnantpublications.com.
We hope you enjoy the short presentation from lineagejourney.com.
As the children of Israel continued their journey in the wilderness, they encountered many challenges. Firstly, how do you feed that many people? In Exodus 16 is recorded the first account of the miracle of the manna, a miracle that continued every week for the next 40 years. Every day for the first 6 days of the week, manna would fall. Then on the sixth day, they would hold a double portion for the seventh day, the Sabbath. And the part that they held for Sabbath would not go rotten. Then on the Sabbath, no manna would fall. This was all to remind them of the fourth commandment, which says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It was also to teach them to rely on God every day for their temporal needs. They now came to Mount Sinai. There are two competing claims to Mount Sinai. One is in Egypt, in the Sinai Peninsula, and the other is in Saudi Arabia, in what would have been the land of Midian. Mount Sinai is where the Israelites built a golden calf in what was a terrible episode. As Moses came down from the mountain, he showed his and God's displeasure. Most of the people repented, but 3,000 would not. The children of Israel had a lot to learn after being in slavery for so many generations. As they left Sinai, they journeyed towards Canaan with the pillar of God's presence in front of them. At night, the pillar of cloud would turn to fire, and it was a visible presence that God was leading them. They were led to Kadesh Barnea, today located on the southern border of Israel with Egypt. Moses sent 12 spies into the land. The names of the 12 are recorded in the Bible, but today most people can only name two of them. As the 12 spies toured the land, no doubt the people waited in anticipation of a good report so their journey could end. However, when the spies came back, 10 of them gave a negative report, and they said even though the land was good and it was fruitful and it did flow with milk and honey, they said the people lived in fortified cities and we aren't able to take the land. Joshua and Caleb, though, said, we can take the land and encourage the people to do so. But 10 of the spies insisted that they couldn't, even referring to themselves as grasshoppers in the sight of these supposed giants. The people now wish they hadn't left Egypt, and Joshua and Caleb tried one last time to convince them. But no matter how hard they tried, their words of encouragement were instead met with people who wanted to stone them with stones. No matter how hard they tried, they couldn't reverse the negative and distrustful report that the other spies had brought back. Such doubt and disbelief in the power of God would not be left without consequence. God decreed that all those over the age of 20 must die in the wilderness. In addition to this, for each day that the spies searched the land, they would wander in the wilderness for 1 year. This is one of the places where we get the biblical principle of one day equaling a year. The only adults over the age of 20 that this did not apply to is Joshua and Caleb, who manifested tremendous faith and courage, and their names have lived on in history. My favorite part of the story is at the end of the 40 years of wandering when Joshua and Caleb enter the land. Joshua is now the leader of the Israelites, and Caleb is an older man at the age of 87, but he asked to be given the land of the giants. He says in Joshua 14:12, "Give me this mountain. If the Lord be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out." He did not seek an easy retirement, but rather he wanted to show that our strength is not in human power, but it's in the power of God. No matter what our age is or what obstacles lie in our path, may we trust God to deliver us and clear a path before us.
To view more episodes in this series, visit lineagejourney.com.
You've been listening to a production of 3ABN Australia Radio.